So we're concentrating on music today, and we're doing it this way because we have a camp starting tomorrow. Kids 6th grade through 12th grade, still some openings if you've got anyone that needs about a week of camp, or if you need a week of camp. But they'll be immersed in art and music and theater for the first couple days, and then move into technology, video gathering, and editing. So next week, we'll be able, if everything goes as planned, we'll be able to see some of the fruits of their labor. We'll share that in worship. But this week, we're concentrating on music, and I feel so blessed to be able to do that here in this church because you have such great music and a wonderful leader in Ron Jesse, and you know his background better than I, but it's fantastic. He is extremely well-educated in music, and he brings you the classical touch, but also can uplift it and change. You'll hear later an arrangement. It's to the old tune of Danny Boy, but with new lyrics. It's absolutely beautiful. But there's a fresh approach with that classic vibe. And that feeds right into what we want to talk about, because the Psalms are our classic vibe from the Bible as Christians. They are a way of reaching across time. And the ancients wrote the Psalms. About 73 of the 150 are attributed to King David, but we're not sure if he really wrote them. Historians, scholars, theologians can't really, he didn't sign them. I'm King David and I wrote this. They were titled later. So it's possible he did write them. It's possible he didn't. But whatever, they were set in his time, about him, around him. And they speak a message that reaches us of ups and downs, trials and tribulations, good days, bad days. It's all things that we pray about. And psalms are, as I'm sure you know, songs. They were intended to be sung, or at the very least, read aloud and shared in community and shared in completeness. Like you'll notice, sometimes we'll preach on, say, Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. But a psalm is really intended to be read all the way through. So we'll read later all 17 verses of Psalm 40. I chose it for this week because it specifically speaks about God putting a new song in your heart. No matter where you are, he is working on that new song in an uplifting and encouraging way. But like I spoke with the kids, what are the reasons that we sing? And the reason we have favorite songs, and the reason when on my phone, if it plays A Summer Place by Percy Faith, that means my mom's calling. And that's my parents' song. They've been married for 50 years. It'll be 51 next month. And no matter where I am, when that song plays, and it plays an awful lot, it's elevator music nowadays, but it can change my mood immediately. And it reminds me of what I'm grateful for when that song plays. But that's kind of the idea here in church when we come together. Those songs, the classics or the modern songs, contemporary, they reach out to each of us wherever we are, but also brings us together in one voice. And lifting that voice in community to God. Can you imagine being God and receiving that beautiful message from not just one of your creations, but of an entire group together who've chosen to be here on a Sunday morning when they could be watching hockey or soccer or down at the beach? You've chosen to come together and lift your voices in praise. That's got to be a beautiful thing. And we coordinate the services together, but Ron didn't specifically say we're going to sing a medley that has Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art, and we're going to sing I Sing the Mighty Power of God, the Almighty Power of God. But those happen to be the hymns that I researched because they mean something to me. And I thought we could use those examples. And it turns out that's what was in the medley. So to me, that's proof somebody else is at work with this master plan. But Amazing Grace, 1779 is when it was officially printed. But it was around 1773 that John Newton wrote it. And he was a Christian theologian by then. But prior to that... You'll remember the line that saved, Amazing Grace saved a wretch like me. Well, he knew what he was talking about. He was a slave trader for years, and he finally had a conversion. He realized how wrong his life had been. He went back to school, turned his life around, and ended up writing several hymns, the most famous of which is Amazing Grace. But that still speaks to me across the time, and I'm guessing it speaks to you. My favorite line of that is, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. As a child, even, it was that line that spoke the most to me. The idea that time in his world is infinite. How great thou art. That song, I kind of lumped in with Amazing Grace and the others written during its post-Reformation era, when they really started singing songs again. Right after the Reformation, songs were kind of flat. The music wasn't big because things were rather austere and getting back to the bare bones of Christianity. And I thought How Great Thou Art was part of that, but it was written very recently. I found hymn insert in one of April's very old hymnals. It's been given to her by a family friend, and it's an insert that was handed out at the Billy Graham Crusades in the 1950s, and that apparently, I did not know this, some of you may, that apparently was his theme song, and that was what they always played at his crusades, and that's where How Great Thou Art got its roots. But to me, it is so much a part of the Christian upbringing. And the words in that, for me, it's the chorus. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. I can feel those words. Then sings my soul. And when Ron hits it with the piano or the organ, I can feel my soul responding. And that brings us to the idea of the Psalms. They are supposed to speak to us across the ages. They are ancient hymns, but if you listen carefully, you might see yourself in them, and they can speak to your soul. My friend who is a minister in Wyoming, Dawn Scarrett, she suggests that you read the Psalms in full out loud, because that was how it was originally intended. And she believes that you get even more message from that ancient practice of reading aloud. For them, it was out of practicality. Very few people could read. But I'm going to read Psalm 40 now in your Bible at the pew. It's on page 446. We'll do all 17 verses, and then I'm going to read one verse from the Message. You know, I love the Message Bible because it just breaks it down and tells it how it really is. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud and to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering, sin offering, you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told of the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. For evils have encompassed me without number. My iniquities have overtaken me until I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let all those be put to shame and confusion who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, Aha! But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, Great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. And one of my good friends is a minister in Dallas, and he pointed out that the Psalms there sing of the star, as he put it, his name's Dusty Craig, as he put it, the Psalms are singing of our stars and our scars. And that is a lesson, a language that we can relate to, even though this was written so many thousands of years ago. It reaches across time, across generations, breaks through age barriers, all kinds of barriers, so that we can relate together and be in song together. And it doesn't have to be a happy song. That's the main part of my message today, is that no matter where you are, and the song that you're feeling is not necessarily the song that God has in mind when you call. God believes, and I believe, in a God who is creating in you all the time. He didn't just big bang, create, evolve, and is over with. He is constantly with us. He is constantly putting a new song in our heart, in that when times are bad, He is there with you. You can dwell. You can feel those emotions and be sad or angry or hurt or lonely. But He is there with you, reminding you of your worth to Him at all times, right where you are. His song, as we told the kids, when you're calling Him, a happy song plays. He is glad to hear from you. He is always with you in a positive and life-giving way. And to me, that is what the Psalms can do for us as well. We can see God's faithfulness through time. This psalmist, it is attributed to David, is saying to God, thank you for all the great things you've done in my life. But then about verse 11, he reminds God, but I know that I'll mess up again. I know that evils will happen again. That's just the way life is. But be there with me. Be out in front of me. I'm calling on you now. And I think that's the kind of life that we can live as well. I want to read you quickly. I love the Message Bible because it writes in our lingo, per se. And at the end of Psalm 40 in the Message Bible, it says, Let those who know what you're all about tell the world you're great and you're not quitting. And me, I'm a mess. I'm nothing and have nothing. Make something of me. You can do it. You've got what it takes. But God, don't put it off. That speaks to me because I can't tell you how often I feel that way. Even putting together the sermon, there's so many things I wanted to share, and you have a certain amount of time, and you got to save something for next Sunday. And so at times I feel like, man, I am a mess. But the good part about our God, a loving God, is that you can go ahead and feel that way, but that's not necessarily what He's feeling. In fact, I can tell you it's not. As my friend Dusty Craig pointed out, when we are singing that song of failure, God is singing a song of fortune, of how fortunate He is to have you in His life, in His world, doing the work of community, loving each other. And when you are singing that song of tiredness or illness, He is singing a song of revitalization. When you're singing an uplifting song, when you're happy where you are, He is singing with you then as well. But to me, it is those times of doubt and fear when God reminds me of His faithfulness and He's singing that song. That's when I feel God most deeply. there are many, many days, every day, at some point, I stop and realize how blessed I am. And I am truly grateful. But the lessons I feel like I learned from are those times when I'm stuck, when I'm lonely, or when I can't figure out which direction to go. I know that I'm safe in exploring those feelings because my God doesn't leave me there. Because I am mad at myself for not handling a relationship correctly or saying the wrong thing to a friend or just not being the person I wanted to be, I don't need to wallow long because my God is reminding me of the creation He has put in me, the new song He has for me, that it's not forever where you sit when things are off. When things are on, I am definitely thankful. But I'm also grateful for those times when I realize that God is there no matter what. And how can we tap into this? We tap into it because we are used to living kind of to a soundtrack. We talked in the last service about, can you imagine going to a movie like Superman without the Superman music? No. Or Star Wars, when Darth Vader storms in, there's a song that goes with him. There's that soundtrack. And so we tap into a soundtrack all the time, every day, all day long. When Call Me Maybe plays, I know it's Gracie. That changes my mood for that time. Certain soundtracks run through my mind when I think of college or high school. Last night, I read online that there was a big party up in Redondo for kids who graduated in the 80s from South Torrance High School. I would have loved to have gone to that because I'm just a fiend for 80s music. I love it. And so when those songs play, I instantly go back to high school. And I'm imagining that it's that way for God when certain things are happening in our lives, He sends us that soundtrack of reminding of His faithfulness and His love. So that's my main message. When you go out into the world today, remember that there is a soundtrack of your life that is strong. It comes through clear back from the ancient days, through the Psalms, through the songs that we sing together, through the community that you have here. Another example of that, I keep up with Sydney and Celeste Corcoran. You may know them as a couple of survivors from the Boston bombing. It's a mother-daughter pair. The daughter just graduated from high school, and she was able to walk in graduation even though she has a big cast on her leg. I think she lost part of her foot. I've kind of forgotten exactly what happened to her because her mother lost both legs. So that has kind of become the story that you see more of. If you want to Google it, there was a great report on last night on Rock Center with Brian Williams. And I bring Celeste up because she's been so strong in all the updates that they show. But last night she broke down and she said, "I want you to know this is hard. I've lost both my legs. And the cameras are gone. The Boston Strong movement is still going on, but I can't be strong every day. I'm angry. I'm sad. I feel this loss." And I thought to myself, well, how does that fit in when we're talking of these soundtracks of our lives and the Psalms and what kind of strength you gain from that? And I think Celeste is a great example. I do not know her faith. I just know that she has given great hope to others. And I think that is the soundtrack that she can, or people in a situation like that can tap into, that even though she is dealing with a horrendous thing we wouldn't wish on anyone, she is that example of the human will, of stick-to-itiveness, of going ahead and feeling bad when you feel bad, but knowing that there is a better song for you and that God is always providing that song. I also met a man in line on Wednesday night at the community meal here, and we were talking about prayer. I've forgotten exactly how it came up. It was a really busy time, and I just remember rounding the corner. He said something, I said something, and then he said, "Well, I'll find the answer in prayer." And I said something in passing like, "Oh, it's great to hear you pray regularly," or tell me about your prayer life. And he said, oh, I used to just pray when I was in trouble. He said, then I started moving prayer to the center of my life. He said, I'm praying to the big man 24/7, 365, is how he put it. And he said, that's what keeps me going, and I am blessed. And he went on to tell me how his life has turned around. And to me, that's a perfect example of that soundtrack. He kept going. He had obviously been through some very tough times. But through prayer and that song lifted to God, he came through. So that's what I leave with you today, is no matter where you are sitting in the pew today, perhaps you're celebrating a victory, you're enjoying good friendships, good relationships. Maybe you have a big decision to make. Maybe you're changing jobs. Maybe you're wondering what direction your life is taking. Maybe you've suffered a loss. Maybe you're dealing with an illness or even a chronic illness that is at you all the time. In all of those times, the God we worship is one of great faith and great hope in your life. He is working with you at all times to meet you where you are and provide that new song. May it be so. And now we'll move into a time of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us to a safe place where we can tell each other how we truly feel and share with you what we are really thinking, knowing that our version is not your version, that you see us always as a loving child of your creation, that you meet us where we are, but provide us with that life-giving faithfulness to remind us that our soundtrack is ancient and old, but new in that we are a great blessing. We are a great beauty. We are a great extension of your love in this world, and you work through us and in us. We thank you also for providing safe travel for Pastor April. And we ask that you watch over the people of Brazil and all places where there is conflict, whether on no matter which side you believe in or are following. We ask that you be there with everyone, holding everyone in the palm of your hand and providing a new song of temperance, a new song of love, of a meeting of the minds, of creating together governments, worlds, lives, communities that are life-giving. For those of us who are dealing with sickness, illness, loneliness, depression, wrap your loving arms around us and bring us the warmth that only you can provide. For those of us celebrating and giving back to community and enjoying family and great times of graduation and summer days, we praise you for those opportunities, and we thank you for the freedom to be together and to know that our expressions, our loves, no matter where we are safe in your keeping. We thank you for all of this and lift our prayers to you in unison, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.